Well, tonight I've entitled this teaching, About Face. I think you're a military veteran, aren't you, Wallen? You probably remember being trained. I didn't say it in quite the same command form that they would, where even today when you see them parading or marching or even doing the flag ceremonies, they're like, about face. And then all of a sudden, there's this thing that happens, complicated, but it is a common command in the military, and it signifies a complete reversal of direction. And in our thinking, it's also a great and excellent description of what repentance means, which is a complete reversal in thinking, which results in a complete reversal in one's behavior. I remember years ago, I got such a kick out of seeing a bumper sticker. This one says, God allows U-turns. And I thought, that's so appropriate to think about in light of this particular topic, because, you know, we've been studying and working and talking about this, but God. And so I wanted to continue on with that, but God, and do that just in the book of Genesis, because in the book of Genesis, there's a number of different uses. But I wanted to start in Genesis chapter 17, in verse 15. This first record I'll be reading from the New American Standard 1995 edition, which just kind of frees up a little bit of the King James type language. Mm-hmm. Genesis 17:15. Here it is. Here we go. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And Abraham, and this is understandable, he fell on his face and laughed, and he said in his heart, seriously, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Verse 19, here it is. But God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. So here's a seemingly impossible situation, right, where Abraham and Sarah were just beyond the point in time where he could and they could really have an heir, a child, a male child. But here comes God. And I just love that in verse 19, which says, but God. And so, you know, maybe good to remember that everything stops and revolves around that declaration, but God. You know, no circumstance, no condition, no problem, no difficulty, or even impossibility is a matter for this simple yet extremely profound idea, but God. When Noah faced the flood, all would have been lost, but God. When Abraham stood in the precipice of losing Isaac, but God. When Joseph could have reaped revenge, but God. When Moses faced the Red Sea in front and Pharaoh's army behind, but God. When David the shepherd boy faced Goliath, but God. When the world was lost and all hell bound, but God. There is no circumstance that is a model for the truth contained in that one simple declaration, but God. Look at Genesis chapter 17. We're just going to read a couple of records here. They are very, just very sweet to look at, very cool. Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 18. There's a little controversy going on between Isaac and Ishmael, and just kind of the whole logic of, you know, what went on. You know, Sarah had Hagar to have the child with Isaac, and that child's name was Ishmael. And if we have understood sort of historically what has happened with the different cultures, Islam and Christianity, then you might understand a little bit more of the history behind it. But anyway, in Genesis 17:18, it said, "And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Verse 19. But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." Yeah, I mean, it's interesting reading in the context of that particular record to get a little broader understanding. Because there was some controversy going on here at this point in time. But God really set the record in a direction that he would have them to go. Here's another record, Genesis chapter 20. We're just looking at a few selected verses from Genesis. I figured, hey, we can't go through every record, so let's just start in the beginning here in Genesis chapter 20, Genesis 20, and in verse 2, here we are again, Abraham. And this is a very unique situation. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah, but, and this is really an amazing story, but God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married." Now, this is a really interesting situation, a really unique story that I don't know if you've looked at it or studied it before, but they had, believe, the same father and different mothers. And so Abraham actually married his half-sister. But, and so in some respects, she was his sister. But God didn't really look at it like that, did he?
No.
And what's interesting is he came to Abimelech, who I'm not going to speculate about who Abimelech was, but I don't think that he was of the believer's line.
No.
And there's a really unique significance here, though, because it assured the preservation of the messianic line through Isaac, and that Sarah didn't sleep with Abimelech and conceive in a very unique and different way. So, you know, a lot of history here. I'm kind of condensing it down quite significantly, but in every one of these records, you see sort of these circumstances and situations setting themselves up, but God. God always has the answer. He has the right answer. Here we are in Genesis 21, verse 11. It says, "The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, Don't be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named." And what Sarah was telling Abraham in this situation is she wanted to send them away. and Abraham, because of just the interconnection with his son, Ishmael, and different things that happened, Sarah wanted to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And Abraham was pretty resistant to all that. But verse 12 says, God said to Abraham, don't be stressed out because of the lad and your maid. And if Sarah's telling you to do this, you need to listen to her and follow through. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45. And this whole record, 45 and then 48 and chapter 50, are all about Joseph. Joseph got himself in some pretty wild circumstances, and nothing that he really did on his own. His brothers were extremely jealous and set him up and put him in these different situations. And here's one in Genesis 45:8 that says, now therefore it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, you talk about a dire situation. Joseph's brothers, if you remember, sold him into slavery, right? And then Pharaoh appointed Joseph this sort of high position in the kingdom. And then the wife got involved, and she set up Joseph so that he was being accused of raping her, yeah. And he was set in prison. You know, all these different things. Remember that? But his attitude, his heart, was just so awesome because he knew God was with him. Genesis 48, verse 21. Then Israel, that's Joseph's father, Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Israel said to Joseph, I'm about to die here, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Joseph, I believe, was in Egypt at this time, and there was that whole situation where there was a famine, and his brothers went, and they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them, and you know, it's a very fascinating story. And in Genesis chapter 50, there's kind of a follow-up to that, where he's talking to his brothers, and he says, Genesis 50, verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. And isn't that something? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And a note I read said, this is the Romans 28 of the Old Testament, that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, it may look all weird and everything else, because that looks like there's no way in the wilderness. And so this phrase, but God, it's used to highlight God's intervention and grace in these seemingly hopeless situations, often appearing after a description of human failure or disaster, signifying that even when all seems lost, God will still act with mercy and bring about a positive outcome. Essentially, it conveys the idea that despite human limitations, God's power and God's love remain constant, offering hope and redemption. Remember that old military command? About face. It signifies a complete reversal of direction. And it's so much of an analogy to repentance, which is a complete reversal in thinking, which results in a complete reversal in one's behavior. So that's a little bit more about this fabulous topic. And I said the other day, the two best words in the two of the best words in the Bible. I'm not going to say the best, but two of the best words in the Bible, that we can always reflect on, always remember, no matter what it looks like, but God. So Heavenly Father, thank you for simple truth that helps us to be encouraged. We read these records in the Old Testament. Father, they're for our learning, that these were great men and women of faith and trust and confidence in you, and that you had the great wisdom for them, Father, in many, many, many situations that were beyond human control, but you were able to intercede supernaturally. And we thank you, God, for the way that you continue to work on our behalf. And even when we think we're so smart, Father, maybe that you have another plan, another direction. And I pray that you will reveal that to us and help us, Father, to be as successful as we can possibly be in this life. And we say a prayer, these prayers, and for God's people listening and for those who are doing whatever they're doing tonight, God, pray for the body of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.